Welcome to Freelance Gems, a podcast designed to help you build a more stress-free, service-based business. On this show, I'll be sharing what I've learned as a web designer and founder of my own brand, Opal Templates, as well as interviewing and learning from the best in the industry. So if you're ready to upgrade from regular freelancing to building a brand on your terms, this is the show for you. Before we start this week's episode, I want to let you know that I am giving away one free mini website audit each week to whoever leaves a review on the Freelance Gems podcast on the Apple Podcast platform. I'm doing this because I know reviews are really easy to forget about, but they are absolutely huge, especially on Apple Podcasts, for helping the show grow and in turn helping more freelancers build stress-free service-based brands. So if you're interested and you want to help out the show while getting some feedback on your website, just leave a review on the show on Apple Podcasts, and I'll link to where you can do that below in the show notes. And if your review is chosen, it'll get featured either on the episode that week if we're in the middle of an active season, or just on Instagram, and then you'll just need to DM me to let me know that it was your review. Then you'll send over your URL, and you'll receive your mini website audit packed with tips for your site accessibility, website strategy, and design choices in a 90-second reel, so you also get some cross-promotion for your brand on Opal Templates Instagram too. So if you're interested, please head over there and leave a review. It is super, super appreciated. But without further ado, let's get into the episode. Okay, Devin, thank you so much for being here. Do you mind telling us, just to start us off, who you are and what you do for those of us listening who are not familiar?
Sure thing. My name is Devin Lee. Hello, everyone. Excited to be here. I am a certified online business manager and a certified Dubsado specialist. So I work with folks, service providers specifically, to reclaim their time and their energy by creating an ideal client experience for them, a client journey for their clients to walk through. And then I automate it using Dubsado. So everything goes on autopilot in the background for them.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. I feel like that's just like the cornerstone of freelancing is the overwhelm of like client processes and all that. So the fact that that's literally all you focus on, I feel like is such a blessing for people that do work with you. But do you mind explaining a little bit more about what Dubsado actually is for those of us who aren't familiar and how it can kind of help people streamline things in their business?
Sure thing. I love answering this question because I love Dubsado. So Dubsado is a CRM, or a client relationship management tool. And basically the big answer is it does everything you need to kind of, you know, do anything to do with your clients, Dubsado will host. So we're talking contracts, proposals, invoices, schedulers, canned emails, all that kind of good stuff all in one place. And the thing I love the most about Dubsado is that it has workflow automation. So what I do when I work with clients, like I said before, is I kind of create these client journeys step by step. What happens when a client, from the moment a client reaches out to you to, you know, offboarding and following up. And what I can do is I can put each of these steps in Dubsado, and Dubsado can basically automate most of them and do a lot of that heavy lifting for you. So that's my favorite part of it, is I want my clients to be focusing on their superpower, the reason they started their business. And I don't want them to be bogged down with, oh, did I send that questionnaire? I need to follow up on that contract. Oh, did I ask them for a testimonial? Like, Dubsado just takes care of all of that for us.
Right. That's really nice. Have you used other tools too, like HoneyBook? Do you have any thoughts on like the difference between the two, or are they kind of interchangeable?
Totally. I have in the past used HubSpot very briefly and HoneyBook very briefly for other clients. It's been a while since I used them, so I can't speak in detail to what they're doing now. And you know, when I used them, they worked fine. They worked great. I found them easy to use, all that good stuff. But what I find, based on what I remember and also my research asking other people about their experience with HoneyBook currently, is there's just a huge difference between what HoneyBook can do and what Dubsado can do. So for example, HoneyBook, I've been told, is great if you just want to get in there and start, you know, using these features, start sending the e-contracts, start automatically sending the invoices. But Dubsado is really, really robust and can do so much more. So there's way more automation. There's way more customization. There's way more room for branding. So, you know, Dubsado is great, I think, for the long term when you really want to grow your business. And then HoneyBook or a program like HoneyBook could be good for right now when you're like, man, I don't even want to think about that. I just want to dive right in. But I recommend people always eventually moving to Dubsado because it can do so much for your business. And you don't want to spend all your time, you know, in the long term doing all of this client admin work.
Right. Yeah, I've used HoneyBook for about a year, but I don't know if it's just, might just be a me problem and not necessarily the platform, but I feel like I always like get really into systems like a couple weeks out of the year and I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is going to change. I try and like figure out every single step of like every process I can think of, but I wonder if that's almost a mistake because I almost get like overwhelmed and try and plan for things that I don't even know how they're going to go yet. So I'm curious, if you're just getting started, what do you think are the most important systems to have in your business?
You know, I'm so glad you asked this. Gosh, as opposed to what specific system? You know, I'll say look at it this way. It's not so much about what system to focus on, but more as like, how do we keep it simple and easy for you as the business owner? So I love that you brought up that, you know, you try to go really deep into systems and then it sounds like you just got overwhelmed and then you were able, you know, you had to abandon those systems, which I think happens to a lot of people. Yeah. Instead, what I tell people, if you're just starting out thinking about systems, just start making note of the things you do every day in your business. I mean, we do it outside in our personal life. For example, you know, you might have a system for going grocery shopping, which is you make the grocery store list and then you go to the grocery store and then you take them home and then you put them in your fridge or, you know, whatever that might be. We have these systems in our business. And when you're brand new to business, you don't know what they are because you're figuring them out. And then over time, you kind of get into the flow. So I'll use, you know, client experience as an example. Like eventually you're going to say, okay, whenever I get a new client, I have to first send them the contract and then the invoice. And then I send them an email asking them to fill out a form. That's the first step to the system. Maybe with marketing, you come up with an idea, you write it down in Airtable or a Google Doc. And then on Fridays, you record reels for Instagram or TikToks or something like that. You'll start to get into these patterns. And as soon as you notice that, or as soon as you notice you're doing something, you know, maybe for the third time, start writing it down and really just, you know, laying out what you're doing. And I think you can just keep it really simple, just the bare bones. And as your business grows, then you can start adding on more complicated features or automations. Maybe you get a virtual assistant at some point, and then you can kind of go from there. But I say just keep it simple, and then keep, you know, if you're writing these all down on a Google Doc, keep it organized somewhere in a Google Drive so you can reference them and say, okay, how do I do this process? Oh, yeah, I can just follow these steps I've laid out for myself.
Okay, so that's basically, is that like writing an SOP then?
Yes, that's exactly what it is, a standard operating procedure.
Okay, cool. That's nice to know because then, you know, if someone's listening and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to get, you know, Dubsado right away, especially if they're just starting, but like how can we move forward into systematizing things at the same time, then just writing them down is like, I don't know, I like that because then you can just reference it even without like automations or all the fancy stuff, but like you're starting that foundation. So then when you are ready to go into a tool like Dubsado, I feel like you'll be a lot more prepared.
Exactly. Yeah. Just writing it down is huge because, you know, otherwise you're having to basically reinvent the wheel every single time and remember everything in your head. And then when you have a team member come on, you have to like explain it to them. It's just easier if you write it down and then you can tweak it when you want to.
Right.
Once you have it all written down, then if you're not quite ready for Dubsado, kind of a middle area, it's putting it in your project management tool. Like step one, check off. Step two, check off. And you can make it a template and use that over and over again. So there's ways to just slowly work your way up to Mac Daddy Dubsado automations.
Right. Okay, cool. And then, so we kind of covered the benefits of, you know, automating your business and creating systems as the service provider, because obviously, you know, we get more free time and less like back and forth with emails, but how can creating these systems create a better client experience for the people we're working with too?
Absolutely. You know, I think we think a lot about the delivery because, again, that's why we got into our business. Maybe you're a copywriter or a graphic designer or something, like you're really good at this, the delivery part, but the client experience can really set the tone. So for example, if you're providing a really high quality client experience, you can charge higher prices because your client's having a better time. They're more likely to tell their friends and come back, because if you really wow them and really impress them, they're going to talk about it and they're going to remember you better than if you gave them more of a disjointed experience. And also, this is kind of one that I think a lot of people don't consider, but it leaves more room for error. So there's always going to be error. You're a human. There's going to be human error. You're going to forget things or fudge up things. The tech at some point might glitch. That's just always going to happen. If you have a really streamlined client experience and those errors happen, your client's going to go, wow, well, you know, that must be an exception to the rule because otherwise everything is so tight and streamlined. But if you're making it hard for people to pay you, or they don't hear back, or they don't know what's going on in the project, when errors do happen, they're going to go, well, this person just doesn't know what they're doing. And maybe you're an amazing graphic designer, but people will find someone else if you make it hard for you to work with them. So that's something I like to have folks keep in mind. Like, it really is this whole package of the delivery plus the experience you give your clients.
Right. So it's really about making it as easy as possible. Is that right?
Absolutely. For yourself and your client.
Yeah. I love that. And I love that you brought up the kind of space to make more errors too. Not necessarily that, like, you want to use it as an excuse, like, all right, I can like mess up all the time now, but still it does happen. And I feel like we don't talk about that in the freelancing space. Like, I know whenever I've been in a client project and like I've dropped the ball on something or, you know, even done the most tiny mistake, it's so painful. It's like, oh God, this is all like crumbling around me. But it sounds like if you have that system built in behind you, it would just feel like you have kind of a lot more of a safety net. So even when things do go wrong, it's not like the 20th thing. It's just like you said, like an exception to the rule.
Absolutely. I think a good metaphor is like when you go out to eat. Like, if you go out to eat and the restaurant is amazing and the server's really taking care of you and they like forget to bring you ketchup, you'll go, oh, you know, like, they're amazing. We'll let this one go. Who cares about ketchup? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, let's say the wait was really long and the hostess was like really like moody and rude to you and your food took forever and they messed up your orders and then the server forgot your ketchup, you go, I'm never coming back to this place again. So it really kind of, like you said, like allows that space for you to just be a human, really.
Yeah. Gosh, that's so nice. That's what I'm always looking for in this business world. It's like, yeah. I'd love to be a human while also being professional and taking care of people. But at the same time, you know, things are going to happen. It's just kind of like setting yourself up as best as you can for success. But, you know, life happens. So that's nice to have that kind of safety net to fall back on. But switching gears, I know you also offer something called a quarterly planning party. And I'm curious how those work, what they look like, and just what that system is and why you recommend it for people.
Oh, okay. I love talking about quarterly planning. So thank you for bringing this up. So I'll kind of give you the backstory. So I didn't invent quarterly planning. It's something that's used in the OBM world. Also, there's a really fantastic book called The 12-Week Year. That's kind of the same idea.
Oh my gosh, basically, I love that book.
It's such a good book. Very inspirational to me. But so basically, when I was an online business manager on retainer, you know, I worked for these clients who were visionaries. You know, most business owners are. They're making, you know, six figures or at least close to it. And they were always either downloading ideas or they, you know, would go to a conference and get a bunch of good ideas. And that happens when you're a business owner. Like, there's always something to do, something new to try, all these projects to do. And so since they had an online business manager, every week they would meet, they say, okay, I want to do this and I want to do that. And it's things like, you know, changing the way that website works, or perhaps changing our project management tool, or maybe doing DEI training. You know, there's a million different like kind of internal projects that you could do to restructure your business and, you know, kind of take things to the next level. The problem was that we had so many projects that we were adding onto our plate at once and not enough people and time to do them or even to wrap our brain around how to do them. They were just kind of like layering them on. So like none of them were really getting done. None of them were really getting done well. Or the opposite would happen where we'd have so many ideas, but like they'd all just kind of pile up and get pushed to the side. So what happens when that happens is the urgent projects are the ones that take priority. And these like kind of non-urgent but important projects are just shoved to the side over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So both scenarios aren't ideal, and you're missing opportunities to get really awesome internal projects done. So I started looking into different ways to plan. And what I landed on was quarterly planning. Okay, once a year, we were going to sit down for a whole morning, really review who we are as a company, what our goals are, what our mission is, who do we want to be, what kind of life do we want to have as a team. And then we're going to look at all the projects that we want to accomplish and pick 3 to 5 and connect those to where we want to go. And then we're going to make a plan. We're going to mark out all the tasks. We're going to put them in our project management tool. We're going to schedule time to get these projects done and really hold ourselves accountable. And then at the end of the quarter, we can review, see how we did, and then look, okay, what do we want to do next? And then we just rinse and repeat. So that kind of had a lot of iterations where at first I was doing it with my retainer clients, and then I was doing it as a one-on-one VIP day where I would just sit down with someone once a quarter and give them the 90-day plan and then, you know, check in with them next quarter. But what really feels the best and what I'm doing now is the quarterly planning party program, which is a group program where we kind of co-work together to make this plan. So now instead of me really holding the hand of the client and kind of doing the plan for them, we are kind of doing it as a community where I guide people all the steps to make this beautiful plan and kind of coach people around how to prioritize their feelings around time. And then we, over the course of the 12 weeks, work together to actually get these plans done. And it's kind of nice to have this community where we can talk out where we get stuck, talk about how to tweak the plan. And even when I'm, you know, when I take myself out of the equation, the folks in the program really find each other. They find accountability partners. They're referring business to each other. So it's kind of like this bonus of like, we're getting all this stuff done in our business and we're growing together. And then it's really fun. I make planning really fun because I know it's not a very sexy part of business, but I think it can be really fun and really exciting when you connect it to these bigger dreams and goals that you have for yourself and your business.
Oh my gosh, yes. I mean, when you said planning isn't sexy, I personally disagree, but that's just,
<I'm so glad. laughs>
that's just me. I feel like maybe I like should have been an OBM in a past life. Maybe I will try it one day, but I just love planning so much, and I'm so glad that you brought up the 12-week year too, because I've done two of those now. And my first one was super successful. So you can probably see where this is going. The second one, I don't know what it was. I feel like maybe it's because it had been a while since I'd read the book or something, but I feel like I just didn't prioritize as well. And like my goals weren't as clear. So I've noticed this time around, it's been a lot more fuzzy. So I'm curious if you have any tips for just prioritizing, because it's harder than it seems to kind of choose what's important to focus on.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's why I started doing the group program, is because I would make people these beautiful 90-day plans. Mm-hmm. And then we would check in mid-quarter and they'd be like, I got busy, I didn't do it. And I'm like, okay, so it seems like you need more. Like, we need each other to hold each other accountable.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really a case-by-case basis on how to prioritize. And there's different ways to go at it. But I think the thing to think about is, you know, like I said before, this is also touching on something called the Eisenhower Matrix, which you probably have heard of. But if you're listening and you haven't heard of it, look it up. So you basically put things into 4 different buckets: urgent and important, urgent but not important, important and not urgent, and then not urgent and not important. Mm-hmm. And so the quarterly planning party is really focusing on what are the things that are really important but not necessarily urgent that we're pushing off. And then, you know, we kind of match those up with our business goals and kind of look at the big picture and choose like, okay, what do we want to do in the next 90 days? And then we really get it done. Now, here's the important part. What happens during these 90 days? Sometimes things change and we shift, and that's normal. But often people will get these beautiful new ideas and they'll start working on those and they'll go down all these rabbit trails. Mm-hmm. And we have to really be honest with ourselves and say, okay, we only have so much time. We can only get so many projects done at once. Yeah. And so even if we're not sure which one is the right one to do, sometimes we just need to do one and see it through and stick with it. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the quarter, we might look back and say, maybe that wasn't the right project to do. It usually is. We're usually right. But I think sometimes we get distracted with there's so many things to do, then we don't do any of them. So sometimes it's just about trying something out, seeing it through, and then reviewing it the next quarter and saying, how did it go?
Yeah, I love that. I've even done like a very simplified version where I just like literally write on a sticky note the month and then just one priority, like one thing I want to get done. So I feel like if someone is intimidated by quarterly planning, that might be a good way to start too, because I am definitely guilty of having so many ideas. But when I did that sticky note method, I was like, there's literally not space for all these other ones. I'm going to write them down somewhere else and just keep this one sticky note out. And that definitely helped me in that moment. It's not like as cohesive and exciting as a real 12-week plan, but it was definitely a good start.
I love that. Yeah. And sometimes it's just about like not doing it perfectly, but maybe doing something that just works. Like you were mm-hmm. saying, like if writing that down and sticking it works for you, then, you know, freaking do it. There's also a really good book called Eat That Frog. That's kind of about prioritizing, or it is mm-hmm. about prioritizing. Mm-hmm. There's another really good book called Just One Thing. And the idea is every day you sit down and you think about, okay, if I can accomplish just one thing today, what will it be? And my day doesn't feel complete until I've done that one thing. I do the same thing weekly. I say, okay, what's the one thing I want to do this week? And it's really about, like you're saying, like doing what works and also just picking something and then doing it.
Yeah. I love that. I'm also going to add those books to my book list. I'm always looking for more of those. But I've noticed that a lot, because in the same way that we get overwhelmed with like quarterly planning and just general planning for our business with too many ideas, I definitely see the same happening in my day-to-day, where I'll have this big old to-do list, or even not huge, but like, let's say I'll have like three priorities for a day and they're all kind of big. I always just am like setting myself up for failure when I do that, because then I never get through all of them. Even if I do two out of three, I'm like, I think this day was a fail, even though it definitely wasn't. So that's a good reminder. Just one thing at a time, whether it's daily, weekly. And then that can all fit into your 12-week plan too.
Totally. And yeah, I think it's important to remember, like going back to, we're humans. We can only do so much in a day. So if we don't finish all of our tasks, I think it helps to look at it like more from a neutral point of view. I think it's easy to say, oh gosh, we're such a failure, or we're lazy, or we're bad at this. But another way to look at it is like, wow, I just didn't have enough time to do all these things. Or, wow, I see where I could have used my time differently today. I'll remember that for next time. And then just moving on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Just having some grace for yourself, I feel like, as I'm always trying to do. Easier said than done, but that's a really good reminder.
Grace is a perfect word for it.
But I'm curious. So you've worked with a ton of clients on their systems and also their quarterly planning. And I'm sure you've seen some amazing results from them. So I'm curious, do you have any cool stories or like case studies of transformations people have experienced after putting systems in place?
I mean, I don't know if this is an exciting story, but I think for me, the most exciting thing for me is once I've done setting up Dubsado for someone. And, you know, I've had clients come back to me and say, I think about you every day when I'm not doing the work I was doing before. Like, it's just saving, you know, it just saves us so much time. And that's really exciting to me, because the way I approach business is I started this business because I wanted a certain life. And I wanted that life to be full of, you know, fun and autonomy and based on what I really want to do and my strengths. And so I feel like systems are a means to that end. Like if I have a system in place, then I can go on vacation because someone else can take over that system or it's automated. Actually, this is a better story. I'm working with a nonprofit right now called TACT, and they work with trans clients and pair them with gender advocates to do sessions to kind of, you know, talk them through whatever they're going through or connect them with resources and really build community in that way.
Right.
And, you know, this is a small nonprofit with just a few people working there, and they were doing everything manually. And these people who are working, you know, at this nonprofit are incredibly intelligent, incredibly driven, incredibly organized, and they just had too much going on. So I was able to create, you know, client workflows for them in Dubsado that kind of takes a lot of that off of their plate. And when I meet with them to review, I say, okay, you're doing all of these things. Let's look at which of your jobs can become a system that we can then offboard to a new volunteer or offboard to a robot that will automate it. And just going through that process and seeing that they're now able to focus on their clients through their journey is, you know, I mean, I feel like that's why I do what I do, right? Like I'm giving them this freedom and they're, you know, able to take it and run. So that's pretty exciting for me.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you can kind of let people get out of the weeds and maybe, you know, focus more on big picture ideas that are kind of necessary to move businesses forward. Or also just enjoy their lives too, because I feel like you're definitely onto something. Most of us start businesses so we can have some extra level of autonomy, and to not be like stuck in the weeds all the time just feels like the key to that, which is so cool.
Absolutely. I mean, because of the systems and automations I've put in place in my business, I can take a vacation for a whole week and my VA and my automations run my business for me. Or I'm in Florida right now where there was just some tropical storms and the internet went out for a few days and I was okay. It was like during a launch too. And it was okay because I have automation set up and my VA knows what to do when I'm gone. So it really holds you in place when things go, you know, wild or wacky in your life.
Yeah, that's so nice. I'm also curious, since I'm sure you've talked to a lot of people, you know, who are trying to DIY their systems, what kind of mistakes do you see people make most often when they're trying to organize their business on their own?
I mean, the number one mistake I see is folks just not writing it down. Mm-hmm. I see for the most part, you know, this is what I see, especially for my Dubsado VIP days, because a lot of the people who come to me for Dubsado are, they've been in business for many years sometimes, they're really successful, they have a team, and all of their systems have been in their head. And, you know, for some people, not having systems in place means that you just can't, your business just isn't sustainable because you just don't have enough time. It's just too difficult.
Yeah.
But some people make it through where they make it to this 10-year mark and their systems are just living in their head and they're so stressed out. They are not having a good time. Their team is chaotic. Their team isn't having a good time. So I feel like just literally just writing out the steps and making those SOPs, like I feel like that's just a huge game changer. And then from there, you can layer things on and really keep it simple and build up slowly over time.
Right. Okay. Got it. Just write it down. That's a lot easier than I feel like I was imagining, but
easy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's so smart. But I'm also curious, from the other side of things, how can someone who's curious about becoming an OBM get started in your world? Because I know as freelancers, a lot of us are always thinking about, you know, trying out this new field or this one. So what's it like becoming an OBM?
Totally. Well, I can tell you about my journey, which I think went really well. I started as a VA. I actually was like an unofficial virtual assistant for probably 10 years. I didn't call it that, but just every time someone needs some help on the internet, I was available.
Yeah.
And then eventually, a business coach told me, hey, you know, you're not really a VA. You are an OBM. And I had never heard of it. So I'll start there. I think being a VA first helped me understand how the inside of many different businesses looked and worked, and helped me, you know, I had to become really organized, and all the OBM skills I think started from working as a VA, because creating systems and businesses made my life as a VA really easy. Right. So that was a nice way to kind of get, you know, an insider look. Because as an OBM, same thing, you have to work in many different types of businesses, unless you, of course, niche down to a certain industry. And then when I found out what an OBM was, this is my way I do things whenever I, you know, start a new business or a new venture. I just joined like all the OBM Facebook groups I could find and just like really dove in. I read every article I could find about being an OBM. I read every post on the Facebook page. And I just started saying I was an OBM. I started marketing myself that way. And I kind of learned that way. And then whenever I hit a speed bump, I could go to these communities full of OBMs and ask questions and learn that way. And then, you know, after my first year, I got certified. And that really took it to the next level, because I learned the ins and outs of what being an online business manager really means. And then I was able to, you know, raise my prices and market more confidently, because I said, okay, now I really know what it means to be an OBM and kind of the ins and outs. So that's kind of my layered approach to pretty much anything.
I like that. It's like the same approach you have about creating systems too. So it's very, very consistent.
Yes. I've never connected that before, but yeah, I like to start simple and then layer it on.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Now, before we wrap up, I love asking this at the end of every interview. What is one piece of advice you'd give to someone today to systemize their business, make their business run smoother, if you had to choose just one thing to recommend?
Ooh, one thing besides writing it down.
Yes. Or, you know, if it's still that's fine too.
I mean, writing it down is a big one. I'll say, you know what, I'll add on to that. Write it down and then use it. Like, make it easy to use. So maybe a Google Doc that is easy to access. Maybe it's just living in your project management tool. And I'll also say, leave room for, you know, error and flexibility. Like, the system I have for social media changes, you know, seriously changes like every other month. Mm-hmm. And I never look back on the system I had before and go, oh, that was a failure. I just say that system was working for me that month because of my priorities as a business owner and where I was in my life. And then this month it's different. So I would say, you know, give yourself a break that way, that systems can change. And it's, you know, it's an art form too.
Yeah. I love that, because then you get out of that mindset where you're like, I created this system. This is the system for the next, I don't know, 6 months, year, whatever. It doesn't have to be like that. So that's a great reminder. Thank you.
Absolutely.
But before we wrap up for real, where can people connect with you after listening to today's episode?
Yeah. So if you want to learn more and read about my current services and offerings, you can go to my website, devinlee.com, devinlee.com. That's also where you can sign up for my newsletter. I have an Elevated Client Journey workbook. That's a free workbook. I've heard it's pretty good. You can download that at my website as well. If you want to hang out with me on the socials, I'm really active on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is the same for both. It's at Devin Lee OBM. Find me in the DMs. I love making new friends and I love saying hi.